Good morning, New Eden. Today is June 25th, 2023, and this is the Federation Frontline Report. I'm your host, Frozen Fallout. My co-hosts are Samson and Nightflyer.
Good morning, New Eden.
Good morning, everybody. So, Frozen and Samson, we've been off the last few weeks with real-life shenanigans, as we were talking about pregame. But I know we've all been active in-game a whole lot, and a whole lot
of murder.
Murder. Say, Frozen?
Yeah, I would say that a lot of changes have just recently went live. There's some patch notes that we're going to be going over later on in the show here. There's a big change up that's happening on the map, actually, of the Galente Kaldari war zone here. There's, you know, Golden Age stories. I believe we were able to announce last time that we were on. Maybe not, though. I'm starting to doubt. But we're in the network now, and working as mercenaries.
We had Alec on.
Yeah, when we had Alec on, I think was we definitely. In the network now, but yeah, and Lancers are in the game now. Very soon they will be technically able to be in the game because it takes a long time to build them.
That's the Lancer Dreadnought.
Yes. Yep. So that's going to change trade possibly. Jump freighters are going to be much more terrified about jumping to a low sec to high sec gate. Which they have to do in order to get into high sec, and all of the close ones to Jitta are going to be...
Oh, because you know, they're so big, they would take the full brunt of one of those, wouldn't they?
Yep. So we'll see if there's, how viable it actually is once Lancers are out there. But once they're out there, that might drastically change the trade game, and Jump Freighters may no longer be a very good... ship choice. Now I heard they also got cheaper. I think the mineral cost
I have 2 days left and I'll have Jump Freighters 5 on my alt. Why you do this?
Yeah, we'll see how it goes, how feasible it is. People are saying that it'll be really easy to just jump in a dreadnought, line it up and shoot the Lancer, and it should kill I think you have to have more than one. I think that there's enough EHP that actually it survives one of them, but three doesn't. If you have the ability to drop one, three.
Ganking with dreadnoughts.
Well, I don't. That lance weapon, though, that you don't actually have to lock onto a target, right? You
can
just shoot it off in a direction, and so
so you just also at the gate
of that are causing that everyone's worried about because you can't.
Dock or jump.
Effects of it, yeah, you can't dock or jump, so. Once you're hit with it, and especially if you're in like a, you know, an obelisk or something, you're not going anywhere. At least fast, you are going to sit there. And if there's anything else on,
Because how long can't you jump for? Like 1 minute?
Yeah, it's like 60 seconds. I think, so
yeah, if you have enough damage, you can keep somebody there.
Yeah, Reddit has been very concerned about it, and we'll see what actually comes of how. Often these gates are actually going to be played, but I would say, you know, for the next month or so, if you're a jump freighter, you know, be aware that keep your eye out for things that are, you know, news about what's going on with this, because I would be very careful about where you jump in, and then things will kind of stabilize and we'll understand the landscape. I think in a month or so is when we'll really have a good idea of how often these are used.
Yeah, I've been trying to think how you could use it tactically in the faction warfare space. I mean, other than the fact it's a large ship that you can use in low sec. I guess we don't really use dreads all that much anyway. Dreads are carriers, but they do pop up, you know, from time to time. So,
well, I'm sure that there's new missions that you can use these on as mercenaries. We might get like asked to hold down a gate or something like that.
Yeah, we're doing we're being asked to do a lot more structured defense and structured attacks. So I know there's the contracts that we're getting a lot now. So they could come in handy that we're not using carriers or Lashak's for. So, although the price difference between one of these new dreads and a Lashak, my one bill Lashak might be a little more cost effective.
Yeah,
maybe.
You know, we'll have to see how these things shake out over the coming.
I think that
I'm going to be coming for a little while still.
So. I'm interested to see what the price will be on them. I mean, the first ones, of course, are going to be ludicrous. If you wanted to get one in the first like month, I'm guessing is going to be, you know, unbelievably ludicrous prices. But I'm wondering because the prices on all the capital ships have gone down. That's another thing that we'll be, you know, we'll see inside the patch notes that we're going to be reviewing. But there are. It looks like dreads should be coming down by a fairly large amount. PI is being doubled the amount of space, or halved the amount of space that it takes to carry PI or something like that, I think. And so all of this is like contributing to the idea that it'll be a lot easier to build capitals moving forward, which is really cool.
Yeah, that having of size, I think I kind of noticed that today. Sundays before shifts, usually, or before the stream, is usually when I start doing my PI every 2 weeks. And usually about 2 weeks, the things are full, so I got to have somebody go out and pick them all up. And today I log in, and none of my launch pads are full. So I'm like, okay, this would be cool. If I only have to do it once a month.
Oh, the amount of... So it's the size of what it can hold.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I should be setting up in Yvangir. I really need.
Yeah,
to
I was
set
gonna
up,
say I need to do that too. Like, yeah, I remember well. Taki was like telling me how to do PI and stuff, and even made like a how-to video, and I still haven't done it because like I want. Do you do it in multiple systems?
Yeah, I do. Because I first started off with Nightflyer because it's just an easy way for like 10 mil that you can invest into passive income and you know, have 50 mil by the end of the. The end of the month, so and month after month after month, it starts to pile up. If you're doing it right, you just got to make sure you're not on planets that are overtaxed. In high sec, you're going to find a lot of plants that have.
If we did it in Yvangir, I don't think we'd have.
Yeah, I'd have checked.
Oh, yeah, the tax is huge. Yeah,
corporate tax that you have to use to set up stuff on that planet. Every time you pull something off the planet, you're paying a tax on it. And so that can that,
and that is how used it is by players too, right? Yeah. So there's another taxing of the.
Yeah, I wonder how many people are doing PI in Yvangir. I don't kill a lot of haulers with PI shit in them, so I don't know.
It's kind of hard to catch haulers with PI doing PI unless you're like really staking out the system.
But once you've got it set up correctly and you got a good balance of what extractors are pulling off the planets, what you're manufacturing, get all that kind of set up, you can really just launch it and forget it and then just go and collect every once in a while. And again, it's a good 100 mil a month that I really don't have to do much for. But it does get tedious. You know, if you got to move your extractors around because the most...
It's like
areas have moved that, you know, you gotta move your stuff around. So again, I can see why people don't do it. Like I said, it's just tedious, but I get it. It's something I can have a stream on in the background that I can listen to and just kind of, you know, putz around with it. And you can all do it from a station. You don't have to actually be in space to do it. So
yeah, that is a nice thing. Is that you just got to go there to pick it up is the only thing. So you got to do a little bit of hauling.
But again, you can get a Episolf or whatever those things are called, the Galente one that's designed just for it. And again, they're 10 mil. And if I lose it, okay, that sucks, but whatever.
Yeah.
Easily replaced.
Oh, so some of the things that we were just checking out that I kind of want to talk about will kind of be in the patch notes, but I want to talk about it a little bit here, is the new corporate opportunities, which are kind of really cool. There's kind of like little missions that you can have for the corporation to do a certain amount of damage in a specific system, or using a specific ship type, or you have like a overall kill count that you're kind of going for. So once we hit a certain amount of kills, then it'll you know, we've accomplished this goal, and you can kind of see how far, you know, you're how much you're contributing to the corporation goals, and I think that that's been kind of cool. I was just looking it over, and there's stuff for transporting.
We tested it while we was gate camping. We shot each other to see if it tracked the damage that we set up.
Yeah.
And it does, like, immediately shows, like, the damage that we each did.
Yeah, I like that, and I think that I'm going to check to see, but we'll have to see when we get our first kill after having set up the... we got, like, one or two kills just before getting the opportunities going, but I want to see what happens with a kill that, if you're not the one who received the kill mail, does that count as destroying a capsuleer, or do you have to be the one to receive a kill mail? Which has always been kind of the, you know, annoying part about
That's interesting. But and then I hopefully it's not bugged or anything, because it shouldn't stack, right? If five of us were on destroy a capsuleer, that shouldn't count for five. That should count for one.
That'll be interesting to see how it calculates that as well.
Saw stuff we can test though, because we just now started using it.
Yeah, but now we have some campaigns up for our corporation. We're gonna have a bunch more. We're going to be making a lot of different changes to Golden Age Stories now that we're part of the network. So now that we're part of an awesome, crazy mercenary organization, we're going to be doing a lot of propaganda for Noir and for the network. We want to get out there.
Yep. Padding of your kill boards.
Yeah, padding your guys' kill boards with a bunch of
Gwen and Frozen are padding your kill boards, you know, in between contracts.
We've been going on a lot of Spectre fleets lately, and that's an easy way to just have a lot of
mainly because they're just
pour into your kill board without a
they're
problem.
They're always at a certain time that's always available to me. Like there's at least 2 or 3 days a week that I'm able to participate in them. I'm really anxious to get in on an actual op, though. I've always been like, I'm asleep, or I'm eating dinner, or, you know, I'm not at home.
Yeah, that's always been the problem with contract work, too, is a lot of times things are set up at specific times. And, like I said, we just had the... we're doing some defense... ops, and of course they're both like right when I'm in the middle of like my work day, so I'm like,
yeah, that's what I saw too. I was like,
home. I can't call in sick.
If anything happens that's the other thing too, is that like my weekdays are kind of hurt, you know, or hit with like things to do. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Wednesdays are one of the only days that's like I during the weekday that I play Eve. And the other days I play other games that I have, like the weekly Stellaris game that happens. As soon as I get off of work, I have like a different...
Those aren't things.
Those aren't real. This is Eve is real.
Alec knows we all have real lives, and we all have other stuff that we're engaged in.
So
contract, but try to make the ones that you can get to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, before we even like joined, we had time to participate actually in something, but we weren't even in the network. But he was like, just take.
We did
this thing, and I was like, sure. And we got some fun kills with that. But if I didn't have to log out, I wouldn't have gotten killed. I think that's pretty cool too. Is like I don't feel like it doesn't. The pressure isn't like
do this or you're getting kicked the fuck out if you don't come to this.
Yeah, yeah. Like I mean,
it used to be like that years ago, and just I think as we all kind of mature with this game, realize you can't play a game. You can't make it a second job. If you do, people are just going to quit on you. I've kind of softened up. I mean, if you blatantly do something stupid, if you take your brand new Lancer Dread and you jump into I don't know,
Thera,
you don't have a scout or something, Thera. And you lose it, you know, then we've had people do that. You have your blinked out battleship and you jump into Thera and you don't have a scout and you get, you know, camped and killed. You're being stupid. Don't do that, especially because we're on contract, because we track that stuff. We're tracking our wins and losses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's how we.
I could see that.
It's a direct hit of a major loss.
We're experienced, so we don't really like. God, I haven't I think I have two full pages of green on my kill board right now. I haven't lost a ship in a little while.
I mean, I got my ass kicked last night. That was a big deal. Not only did Nightflyer lose, guys, Mango lost her...
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
I'm like, God, this... Spot and Akiki, what, they owned me. I could not...
Kiki's are dangerous, yeah. They're, right? If they know how to fly...
Yeah. Oh, this person knew what they were doing. And they're really good, you know, whatever. Definitely had my number, and I finally just had to quit and walk away. I said, just not that I'm working, not that I'm doing, it's working. So time to give it up.
Yeah, so the other things that we're going to be talking about today, and first thing that we're going to start off with is the going over the war zone, as there has been a lot of changes that have happened to the Galente-Kaldari conflict. Some good news for the Galente, some bad news for the Galente, but very high active amount of battle that is happening all across Galente Kaldari war zone right now. It's been a lot of fun messing around there the last few weeks. We'll also be taking a look at the patch notes for the most recent update that came to EVE Online. And we're also going to be talking about the high sect war that started after the patch notes were announced. So just kind of starting off here, we have this nice little map of the war zone that CCP provides us in-game. The best maps that they have of EVE actually is just a small section of faction warfare. So that is, I always find this interesting how cool and really great this map is, but...
It is a nice map.
They need this for the rest of EVE, for sure. Like, each region should have, like, a map that looks like this. And then, like,
yeah,
it'll tell you where, you know, it goes out to. But in any case, as you can see, the south has been a very interesting change-up. They had pushed us all the way back to Hadeles for a while. A boon was taken. All of this area up here was taken by the Kaldari. This entire chunk over here. So you've got the Negamenon, Sugerento, Arinako. All of that was owned by the Kaldari. The Kaldari also owned like Vivalir, OICX, and they had pushed us all the way back to like Albanol in this area over here. And they definitely had Athanon over here. Is now currently in the hands of the Galente. This is a big change up to the war zone here. So this is their gate that they have to from high sec to low sec. That there's this special gate for like just a few jumps from Jitta. So the Galente owning this means that they can't use that gate anymore. So I'm interested to see how much of a, you know, there. I know there's efforts and fights that are happening in the north. Sedition is primarily leading up that with a lot of other groups in the Galente. But there is really strong pushes that have been happening up here. The Kaldari, though, have also lost Sugerento, which is a pretty important hub system. However, they do have it as a front line right now, so they can still dock in it, so it's not a huge problem for them at this point, but their Talon in front has been really strong. I've been seeing that, you know, some of the more powerful northern or southern kind of corps that there are that hang out by Hadeles and stuff have been really pushing up in the Sugerento area and have had pretty good coverage of holding that these systems down. Oh, there is a battlefield going on right now.
Yeah, right in Fallette. I'm like, we should probably be there. I want to give a shout out to the guys up in Sedition for getting back Villarreal, because we had lost that, and when that happened, that's where my Leshak was that whole time. I had it up there on a contract and didn't move it. And when they lost the system, we joined faction warfare. I couldn't get it out of the station. I don't have another pilot that can fly it. So it literally sat there until we got it in a frontline system again. So thank you guys for helping me get back 1.2 bill a shack out of that system. Someplace I can actually have access to it when we need it for contracts. So.
Yeah, Vivalier used to be a really popular Galente stronghold, and has definitely dwindled from the years of past. Everybody's kind of pushed back. You know, Albanol is now a system that you can't get kicked out of, no matter, even if the Galente or the Kaldari own it and every system around it. You won't get kicked out of that system. Systems like that have become much more desirable to live out of, because you can't be forced out. Your structures can't stop you from docking, no matter who owns the system. But it is nice to see the Galente really pushing back. However, we do have a problem in the south here. So Murathan, Indrigal, Melmanuel, that is now underneath the control of the Kaldari.
Yeah, we just lost Memoral last night. Or
yep.
But Indrigal, we're gonna take Indrigal back either tonight or tomorrow. So.
Yeah, Indrigal is really close. So yeah, let's take a look at some of the systems here. So we've got Indrigal is at 85.7%. So not quite there yet. Today, tomorrow might make it fall. But once it gets to this level of contested, things can really heat up with the fighting over plexes. This is a good time to be hitting up this system, because the Kaldari will get really good reward for plexing in this system, for deplexing in this system now. So it's much more likely that they'll want to come to that system to do deplexing to hold that back. Hadeles used to be, was at like 98, or I think it was vulnerable, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think it was
like 98.5% or something.
Yeah, it was really bad for a while there, but we have pushed that back to a 78.2% contested. Looks like we have a little bit of advantage as well in the system, finally. Fliet has been holding kind of strong, but looks like they're kind of... it's been like, what, months now that this has been the front line is right here at Fliet. 80.9% contested right now. The Kaldari do have a 10% advantage. Another big one that people are fighting over is Sugerento. So the Galente currently have that and are holding it at 28% here. So surprisingly, we're actually being able to hold this out here. Tama is a frontline system, but nobody wants to fucking play faction warfare there, so
wouldn't it be a great thing though if we actually had it, if like Galente had Tama?
I think that it would be nice. I might go back and play again. Maybe, yeah, I would go back.
R.I.P.
I mean, we can dock in Tama now, so I might go pick up a bunch of shit that I have.
Wait,
there.
We can? Is it frontline?
It's a frontline, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay, we don't necessarily have to take it, but now that it's a frontline, we can go fuck around there.
We can go play there. We can play in Tama again. So.
We can fuck around in Tama now? Okay.
And Kaldari will never get kicked out of Tama, unfortunately, because
we haven't gate camped Nervakaiken in a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be fun to do again. You know, some of our late night funds.
I'd FC a Nervakaiken gate camp.
But yeah, so that's a good little war update here. Let's go ahead and take a look at the patch notes. If Samson, you want to go ahead and pull that on up for us?
Yes, sir. Let's see here. Just press that little button. It does the things.
Watch the stream.
So, you got it?
Yep, I got it.
Patch notes version 21.05. So, I'll start us off here a little bit. We got some interesting things that I was literally just looking at it right now, right before you said that. And that is, first of all, the dedicated LP tax rate, which we just set up. And I think that's a really cool thing. Because it's a really good way for
this is
corporations
a game changer for
yeah
for faction warfare. Just a
it's huge,
a huge
yeah. Because like that's really what we need as faction warfare corporations and alliances is we need an LP tax, because we especially us right now we just started like for the, over the past few months we started taking our LP and manufacturing ships just to hand out on fleets. And for ourselves too, but we don't, you know, I mean, you can only you only need like three of each ship before you need something else, right? But like, just that's a huge thing for us, and hopefully it will work out really well. And we definitely want to put that on our on your faction warfare corporations. And also, Evermark's corporation donations. This one I'm a little interested in. I'm not quite sure if I understand it. It says, added the ability for corporations with alliances to donate corporation Evermarks to an executive corporation of the alliance. Oh, okay. So it's just the ability to take your Evermarks from your corporation and donate it to the alliance.
And my understanding, too, is that if you, the way that the corporation gets their LP, the reason why they wanted to set this up, or I don't know, there's some implementation with this that is a little bit rough, and there's some problems
yeah, well,
because there's some corporations can't donate, but or no, yeah, so okay, the corporation is the one who donates this, but the corp, okay, so this is what allows them to actually, the executor corp is the one that for the alliance that does all the skins for all of their stuff if it's alliance based. But every time that you get Evermarks for an individual, that also goes to your the same amount goes to your corporation as well, from my understanding.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. That's a big thing in the mechanic that the Evermarks thing for me, I didn't seem like it was very well explained. Other than that, I knew that I could get Evermarks and I could get, you know, our corporate or alliance logo on my ship, which is freaking awesome, right?
Yeah, that's
cool. So the corporate and I guess alliance Evermarks are for buying the skins then.
But they're releasing it as a 30-day timer that's on it. So you got to re-up every 30 days. This is like,
oh, so they're like 30-day skins then.
Yeah, and this is how they're going to force people to have to do Evermarks all the time. You know, like,
yeah. So if you want to have this Evermark specific skin,
yeah, because part of the problem became with like the large corporations. Let's just throw goons at it, because goons, you know, they've got a holding company that holds all this stuff, so. What happens when this person, and according to I think it was Rampage, said something like they've already got 200 million whatever Evermarks, and there's only so many skins and stuff you can buy. And so as players keep collecting the stuff for the corps, then, you know, what else can the corps buy? It's like, we've already bought everything, we don't need anything else. So that's why kind of having this timer helps them continually burn through their Evermarks until, you know, more of these husbandry things can be, you know, put in.
Yeah, it makes sense, especially considering that we as our corporate alliance and stuff haven't used any of the corporate Evermarks.
Well, we had nothing you could spend them on.
Yeah,
corporate
Evermarks exactly.
Can't be spent on anything. But this is a reason why to do Evermarks, even if you're not getting it for your personal gain. So there is some interesting kind of stuff with it, but.
Yeah, they don't want people selling them or giving them away. Like,
right.
What you're supposed to earn them. The idea is that it's not a money thing that you can, you know, make money at. But the problem comes, like, if Golden Age Stories has all the Evermarks, then what about the network? Where does the network get there? Because they're the ones that own all the structures. We don't own a structure. We use, you know, it's all theirs. So they've got none and we've got them all. So until they kind of work that out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the donation that you can do. I can give to the Alliance Executor Corp, and so then the Executor Corp is the one that is able to do all the Alliance stuff for skins and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, but the Skinner, I've watched people kind of play with it. Now they've got, like, I don't know, 180 different skins with dozens of combinations you can make for each one. There's layerings of colors that you can put on your stations. And
need to ask if I can make the station on Charmgate pink.
Yeah.
For Gwen.
Oh, that's just it. Yeah, you can make everything pink and give it
highlights. I need to ask Hungry, because that's their station. I don't even know why they put it up. I don't care, because it's freaking amazing. It's on the gate that I camp 24/7. So it's a beautiful thing. Thank you, Hungry, for that, Shawnee.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, we greatly appreciate. So the next thing that we have here in the patch notes is the Homefront operations. There is a bunch of bitching on Reddit about this. Oh my god, like so much.
Would you like me to go through all of them since there's a lot of bitching?
No.
Okay.
No, let's just talk about the bitching.
Okay, we'll just talk about the bitching. You guys can read with a loop or a microscope or something. You can read all that shit right there on the screen.
Here, let me boost this up here actually too.
Well, first, have you guys done any of this stuff? Have you like looked at any of these sites that they've got?
No. I have not.
Wendell PVE.
I've seen some things on Reddit that's talking about it. Basically, it's you take five Navy or five augers into the site, and you're trying to cap up a dread. Is that correct?
It depends. That's one of them. One of them is you're trying to save a ship. The other one you're trying to kill a bunch of rats. There's ones for explo. But the idea is that you're gonna get. You have to have 3 to 5 players, usually in cruiser-size ships, if you're going to do any of these things. Because that's what I heard, and I'm like, all right, well, I don't know. Let me see if I can take a Thrasher in and how long
that multi-boxing.
Lasts. So you either have to multi-box. But I think it's a way for newer players to get into small fleets, and I think it's really kind of an interesting way to build up that small gang part of the game, where either you're going to have to multi-box or you're going to have to... You're gonna have to find 4 friends to help you through these things. So I think that could be interesting. I would like to give them a try at some point, but
yeah, I mean, the times that I have tried any of the PvE stuff, it's been with our fleets or something, or with with a fleet that I'm just on. Like, but I just don't solo PvE anything anymore. I just hunt those people. Solo PvE.
Well, it just gets monotonous. I've done PvE a lot, just ways to make money. And when you're by yourself, I mean, every time I'm using a ship, I know can easily handle the situation. Like when we had the last thing in May, I had one of my alts run through because I wanted to see what it was all about and see what kind of drops and stuff you could get from it. And it was nice. I mean, I made enough money with him to kind of cover my nut for at least probably 6 months here. So I've got some money to burn out. But again, there wasn't any. I stayed in high sec. There wasn't any real challenge to it. I had a ship I knew could handle it. No one was going to come and gank me. And the one guy that tried got, concorded. So
that must have been satisfying.
It was fun. It was great because he was playing games. He kept coming in and locking me up, and then warping off, and coming back into the site and yellow boxing me again. And
yeah, those are always
fun. He messed up because he went suspect and. He got melted.
I almost lost a Legion once doing that kind of crap. I was like trying to go suspect and get someone to, but also too, just like whole Concord aspect of things. When I would station camp trade hub in like Amar, it just became, you just however fast you could lock the guy that's trying to do something stupid. And before like if you see a battleship on dock and do something absolutely asinine, can I lock it quick enough before Concord blows it up and get on the kill?
But I do enjoy the team stuff. Like Hateless used to have the Triglavian things inside. Now Galwin is carrying that tradition on. And again, it's just a way they can fleet up, do PvE. Again, not very stressful. But, it's a camaraderie of flying with other pilots. You're shooting stuff, and in the end, you're actually making, 100 mil. So it's been worth it for me, especially as you're trying to figure other parts of this game out.
Yeah, so I've heard about that. Also, real quick here, I messed up. The patch notes I just linked them in our document here for you to pull them up. These are the modifications that have gone to the... patch notes, but let's actually bring up what the actual patch notes are for the expansion here. Nope, other link above. Sorry. That.
Yeah. Don't look at TTT. Yeah.
Don't look at the TTT stuff. That's for later. Nope, that's still the patch notes version. The one that you want is the EVE Online News.
Oh, view. It's underneath.
Yep. Sorry about that. So this is
Viridian expansion notes.
So corporate projects, so we already talked about that. This is interesting, though, that they kind of go through. So this, if you go back up real quick, these are some of the things that I haven't actually dug into these patents. So we're going to be all together on looking at these expansion notes here. But yeah, so there's manual that allows you to like have a freeform one. We messed around with that where you can just kind of make up your own goal and then you just manually set it. It doesn't show contribution or anything, but it's like, you know, I want to... you know, have these many fleets that are led, you know, 100 fleets that must be led in the next month or whatever, and then just tell me every time, you know, I have every ping that I see for a fleet will be a fleet that's been run with the corporation or whatever. But yeah, in any case, though, there's delivered items, so there's, like, asking people to go do and deliver items, I guess, which is interesting. I haven't looked into that one, but destroy non-capsuleers, damage capsuleers, and mine ore, so different kind of core projects. These are been really cool, but yeah, we talked about these at the beginning though. So what else did happen here in the patch? Air opportunities got up duty. Let's see.
Oh, air. That's that like in game thing that they already have where you like you earn little prizes for doing things in game, like killing an NPC every day or doing something. And those are neat. I've earned like destroyers and frigates from just doing stuff.
Yeah, it has like a little path for you to kind of take different activities for you to accomplish or different things for you to accomplish. Gives out, you know, money and cool little things. So this has just got looks like a new interface that replaces the old journal. And this also is where I think the core projects all live as well, is this, in this new era of opportunities interface that they have now.
So then, is the reward or whatever for the corporate ones, that's just like to be determined by the corp then, I guess? Like there's no like built-in rewards for the... corporate
Correct.
Opportunities.
Correct. Yeah. There is like your contribution, but it doesn't, as far as I've been seeing here, it doesn't like give you where everybody else's contribution is, or you know, like,
you know, what would be cool is if they added like payouts. So like you as the corp could say, I put, you know, 10 mil or 100 mil in this opportunity, and when it's done, all the contributors just split it, you know?
Yeah, based on their percentage.
A payout. Yeah, based on their percentage. That would be cool. That would be super easy to set up.
The problem, though, is that that could also be gamed very quickly by players.
Yes, true.
But players are the ones who are setting it up, so that's, you know, it's a possibility.
A big portion of Eve is confidence, bro.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, come on. I mean, and some of the old cons are getting, you know, really, really old, and no one falls for them. Well, I guess some new players do, but like nobody else falls for them anymore. So like maybe they need a new one.
Right. So let's look at the next thing that we got here, though, is the corporate loyalty points. So we already just talked about the tax here. But yeah, this is going to be a big game changer, I think, for sure. I really like the idea of a corporate tax. We put ours at 5%. Corporate LP tax. But yeah, this is just what allows for things to be actually done at the top level, to be able to hand out all those ships and stuff and have LP or have ship replacement program for faction
because
warfare.
The way that it's gone, like, yeah, sure, initially when LP, the newer LP things like the faction dreads came out, there was some money making opportunities, but now that's calmed down, it's very much a good way to fuel your corporation or alliances, like fight, just, and like you said, SRP, because you can just continually pump out Navy ships, you know, with your own LP. But now if everybody's contributing, like if there's a tax, then that helps us, you know, just as a core, because technically we've just been, you know, paying out of pocket because we can and it's fun. So, But that'll be nice for it to start sustaining itself.
Right. So the next thing was the new skins that they have for all of the... So yeah, let's just take a look at the little video that they have here for that.
I would love to be able to skin that Astra that's on our gate.
I think we can. We'll have to check into that for sure.
Well, I have to
talk to people.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'd be like, what is it? What would it take?
But yeah, people have been asking for these skins for a really, really long time. For skins to come out for structure. So
structures are really cool looking.
And yeah, little personalization goes a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a huge thing in you know, I mean,
I know a lot of
I don't want to break the fourth wall, but that's a huge thing in video games in general.
Right.
Sorry, this isn't a video game. It's real.
I know there's a lot of people that were, I mean, they would have paid real world money to buy skins to put on their stations.
Absolutely.
So
I would totally
something like you know, Brisk Rabala said for years that it's just CCP leaving money on the table. Like, I will give you money right now. And same thing with, like, I brought that up years ago too, is like name change. Like, I just want to drop the numbers from my name, and I'd be willing to pay you $29.95 to do that.
Especially if it's a one-time thing.
Yeah, right? I'm like, or maybe it's a sliding scale. The more you do it, the more expensive it gets for you.
Yeah, that would definitely make them money.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, it's just money on the table, though.
Yeah, all right. So let's take a look here. What else do we have here? Tax reform. So this is going to be changing up how to make Upwell structures be more attractive for where you want to do your marketing at, which is really interesting because we're going to talk about in a little while here a little bit about the wars that are going on because of this, kind of with the tax reform, but more that I don't think it says it here, but at some point in the patch notes they're going to reveal that there, you know, it's a spoiler alert, there are no more large structure or extra large structures that can be placed in HiSec. So as soon as the patch went live for this, it prevented people from being able to put up extra large, like keep stars or the Sotoya or whatever.
Sotio.
Sotio or the what's the other one?
Fortizar.
There's Fortizar, and then there's one more as well that's an extra large, I believe. But in any case, you know, the extra large. So the TTT trade hub in Perimeter had some crazy shit happen with it, but let's just skip over this. I don't think we need to go deep into this tax reform, but there is a bunch of tax reform for people who want to go check that on out. Industry job installation fees, there's some changes that are coming with that. Also, one, you know, something that I don't think we need to do a deep dive into, but know that the system index stuff is going to be changing for that. And if you're interested in you know, doing a lot of industry in a system, you might want to check out to see how those changes are going to be affecting you. Luckily, I live in LoSec, so nobody does industry where I do industry. So my industry index value is
they just transport super shit low through our system,
right? Yeah, let's go ahead and scroll down here. What else do we got that were big changes? Temporary sales tax holiday that just started, or I don't know how long that'll be for, but this is the next big one here, Lancer Dreadnoughts. These are the Tech 2. We were talking about them a little bit in the beginning about how it's going to be changing up the transport industry, basically making it extremely dangerous for you to fuck around or not know what the hell you're doing and be really on top of your shit. There even people on top of their shit might not be able to make it back into HiSec with these Lancer Dreadnoughts. Basically what they are Tech 2 Dreadnoughts that also allow you to put a Lancer on them. So a untargeted doomsday device that they get to shoot. So they're basically like mini Titans. And I believe that they're going to be settling around like 10 billion-ish or something like that, is what I kind of heard for what these
might be. So the price of a jump freighter?
Yeah, pretty much. And jump freighter is coming down as well with the industry changes that they're making. I believe that it won't be 10 billion for a jump freighter anymore either. It might be a lot.
Hey, I can afford. I can finally afford a jump freighter for my alt that will get blown up by fucking lancers.
Right. Not a really big visual change from any of the other dreadnoughts. A little bit more lights and stuff like that. The Amar one will have torpedoes though instead of lasers for its weaponry, which is kind of interesting. Keldari one will be a hybrid turret instead of a missile launcher platform, which is interesting change up for them. Galente just staying kind of the same, but they also are weaker from what I hear. Overall, they do not really come across as a weapon to be used in massive warfare because they have awesome tanks. These are like really designed as hit and run. Kind of like little DVs
very tactical, that you can drop in. Tactical dreadnought.
Right. These are not going to be the everybody should be in this inside of fleet because they are like the I believe the Navy version is much better when it comes to EHP and stuff like that, even with the Tech 2 resists. Because they don't get the assault Tech 2 resists, but they
and then the pirate dreads just have like they're each their own special bonuses, right? Like
yeah, well, and the pirate dreads have just the overall, I believe it's a 50% more armor, shield, and hull that you get for being a Navy version of a ship.
Oh, the Navy. No, not the pirate. I said the pirate.
Oh, the pirate. But yeah, so the pirates, I believe, also get that bonus as well, too.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm pretty sure.
So faction dreads in general, then.
Yeah, faction dreads in general are beefy. You know, badass, you know, things that are a little bit easier to have be a tankable, you know, set them up to be tanked so that they can get out of their siege cycle fast enough. I believe they also lowered the siege cycle or something like that. Or no, that was the Marauder. The Marauder, they increased so this is, yeah, the next thing that they're talking about right here. Marauder's got a pretty significant change to them. They moved around some slots, gave like the Megathron an extra mid slot, I believe. So that kind of helps.
In the Kronos?
The Kronos, yeah, sorry. The Kronos. Bastion
Megathron
went from
class.
The Megathron class, yeah. The duration increased for their Bastion mode from 30 seconds to 60 seconds. So,
I thought it was 60 seconds. I'm confused.
It's been all over the place. It's been all over the place for whether or not. I think it started 60, went to 120, then went to 30, then went to 60.
Oh, okay. That makes perfect sense because when Gwen did PvE oh so long ago in a paladin, I felt like it was 60.
Yeah, that would probably be correct. So yeah, we have the different.
Oh, they
changes.
Gave an additional mid slot to the Kronos.
Yep, HP in the armor structure decreased a little bit for its HP. So they switched those around, making it not a structure tank kind of ship. So Vargr lost a high slot, got a low slot. Like everything, I think, is losing like a high slot basically in order to get like a better low slot.
To get a different slot.
Oh yeah, except but Paladin didn't change anything except for its optimal range bonus was reduced from 7.5 per level to 5.0 per level. So that's pretty good. All the mass of every one of them got changed as well. Like pretty big increase for the mass changes. Oh yeah, they did make some changes to the Maelstrom, the Roke.
Yeah, battleships. Yeah, I haven't even seen a Roke. Like, no one uses them.
Yeah, they're pretty rare. Sniper long range
rail boats.
But now it got an extra mid, which is kind of interesting because it's a shield tanking, but with that extra mid, you might be able to use
that. No, that's good, right? Yeah, yep.
Increased CPU as well. That's good. Maelstrom also got it's like an increase to its shield. Oh, holy shit! An increase to the shield boost bonus from 7.5 to 10% per level. That's pretty fucking crazy.
Well, Maelstrom can tank hard now.
Yeah, that's going to be a good solo tanker for sure.
So new bait ship, Maelstrom.
Yeah, and it's faster now, and its scan resolution is a little bit better. That's kind of nice. Oh yeah, the big thing too, but everybody's still saying that rails still suck. But large rails got a tracking bonus and a rate of fire bonus as well.
And I would still argue that because rails are, I mean, they've been very kind to us. So I've gotten more kill. I just want to say this right now to the rails versus blasters. Don't get me wrong. I love blasters and the DBS is great, but it's very situational. But with rails, on a comet, for example, let's go to the smallest thing. I've gotten way more kills than your average blaster comet pilot. I guarantee.
Yeah, I've had people kite me in my blaster at comet where my
exactly.
rails. It's hard to.
There's a lot of nano assholes out there. Okay, right? You gotta be prepared.
Yeah, I really like it when they like try and get away from me, and it's like, yeah, I'm still dealing out a decent amount of damage.
Yeah, you're still gonna die, bro.
And also now you're probably pretty flimsy because you are a kiter and you just rely upon being able to get the fuck away from me. But that ain't happening today. 0 point mass entangler. So what is this here? Oh, this is the.
Yeah, they can use it in high sec and low sec now, because it wasn't allowed.
What is the zero-point mass entangler?
Isn't that a laser thing?
I'm not sure.
Technical difficulties.
Sounds familiar, but... wait,
I'll
technical...
I'll try to do some research. On that.
All right, so then there's the home front. So let's see if they dig in. Actually, can you just hit play on that? It's 8 seconds.
It's just like it's like an animated GIF.
It looks kind of cool. Wow, that didn't give us anything. Let's just take take a look here. So yeah, there's the abyssal artifact recovery, suspicious signal. So there's ones for scanning. I think there's ones for healing, for fighting. Let's scroll down a little bit more. Dread Assault. The one that I hear about all the time is the Dread Assault. An allied dread was dispatched to eliminate a target. Unfortunately, hostile forces are neutralizing its capacitor, preventing it from firing. Boost.
I think it's
charge.
The infinite point. 0 point mass entangler.
The infinite point. Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. I like that.
It's for rolling wormholes.
I know that as well. Like it does crazy stuff to your.
No, you just need five.
When you do that.
You just need five Megathrons named Rolls Royce.
Yep. an enemy. So there's raid. Enemy base has been found containing items your Empire would like recover. Tackle, destroy any hostile haulers that are attempting to escape. Bring a hauler of your own. To aid in retrieving the items from their smoldering wrecks. These are kind of cool. I really like these different kind of weird things that you can kind of do. But people have just
Absolutely.
Been bitching about the idea that, oh, now if I multi-box five characters, then I can do these and make a whole bunch. I can make better money than 0.0. But a lot of the times they're like, it's Well, my single character doing an activity in 0.0 can't make as much as five characters doing something in 0.0 or in high sec. And I'm like, well, that kind of makes sense.
Well, and also too, like, bring your five fucking haulers into my system so I can pick them off. You know what I mean? Like,
but I like
what... zero mass thing is for rolling wormholes. Okay, so it's something for shrinking wormholes, like shooting them.
Yeah, I guess if you want to get rid of wormholes, then high sec makes sense. But I just want to say I like what CCP is doing with these home front systems and with the air system. It's like they're trying to kind of beef up the standard missions that they've had. I think that's one of the big, I think, issues some people have with the sandbox game is when you can do whatever you want, then what are you actually going to do becomes another question.
Well, a lot of people have that issue, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if you are a task-driven person, then... you know, CCP is giving people tasks now. It says, here you can do something a little bit more than missions, because the missions get stale. You can only run the same 12 missions, you know, over and over and over. And you're just, and again, I've done it, and I don't want to do it anymore.
So I remember, I did it.
Give me some new missions to do.
And these and are the new missions that they
come up. And these are this, and again, so the air missions, or the air thing gives me things that I can do, like you said, shoot five NPCs or whatever, and or manufacture something, you get these gifts. So it gives me tasks or something that I can do to get a reward. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of the same thing, only how do we keep people in the game is you get them interactive. You get them into a corp, you get them flying with people. And that's what this is. You're going to get, if I would have had this 3 years ago when I came into the game, it probably would not have taken me quite so long to get into PvP.
I could say the same thing. It did. Like, I tried really hard and failed when I first started the game in PvP.
You know, I was failed just throwing chips away because I had no idea what I was doing. So.
Well, yeah. I rage quit a bunch of times. I don't know about throwing chips away.
I just started doing other things. You know, I kept doing Explo, which is still something I probably enjoy a lot. The game is doing exploration. But I went over into mining and manufacturing because it was something I knew I could do, and I didn't feel like an idiot getting, you know, just spanked all the time. So, but then again, it wasn't until I found a decent corp with some good guys and then, you know, got trained up. But that's what it was all about for me.
All right, so the next big thing that they have talking about here is the industry changes to capital ships. So capital ships are a lot cheaper. A bunch of their integrated components that they need are going to be changing from like 10 to 25 needed for the integrity response drones. Different stuff like that. If you want to get like a breakdown of it, I'd suggest going and checking it out. But this is just going to make overall things a lot cheaper to build jump freighters or build capital dreadnoughts. And I believe carriers are being hit by this as well. Possibly even Titans and supercarriers, but I'm not 100% sure on that. There's the next thing here that we've got is the different... changes that they're making to the frigate. So they're just going to have some more lights. They're going to look a little bit cooler. Go ahead and hit that play here.
Oh, it's got sound.
Oh, yeah, the new missiles. The missiles look really cool.
Ooh, I like that swipe over.
Yeah, so it's just like new lighting on everything. You know, everything looks a little bit better. All the frigates got a little like touch up that happened to them.
New shit crashing multiboxers, CCP.
Yeah, yep. New stuff to.
Yes, it crashed my shit a couple of times. I said like, I'll have two characters logging in. And they're both inside of an upwell structure, and like one of them will just fucking freeze. Like, God damn it, you stupid, ridiculous animations in your upwell structures. No, they look great, but like, yeah, optimize it, please.
Yeah, they got, so this is the new graphics kind of setup. Nothing like revolutionary here. New missile impacts are kind of cool. 68 new looks for the frigates. The marauders have a little bit.
Gonna play it again while you talk.
New changes that kind of come to it. And is that the, I think that's the end of the patch notes, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's the end of the patch notes.
So let's talk about the, I'm surprised that in there, it maybe they announced it somewhere else, but the HiSec can no longer have, you can't place new structures that are extra large. So the next thing that we're going to talk about is the TTT. So are either of you two familiar with the TTT?
I've been there from time to time. Obviously, in short, for people who don't know, so, you know.
I don't know.
Several large organizations like Goons and Pandemic Horde, I think Brave, got together and they put this this station and perimeter right next to JITA, and they're using it as a trade hub. So it's a non-NPC trade hub, so they were collecting tax on it. So you could sell stuff there a lot cheaper than and not have to pay the taxes that JITA was going to charge you. So that's the primary thing about it. But it's a keep star. And the problem with keep stars is if in HiSec is how do you destroy a keep star in HiSec? Because the ships you need, you can't fly. And so it was a self-perpetuating problem. And that was always the question. So,
yeah, extra large art structures suck to take down. But it's interesting because as soon as this announcement was made, Asher was one of the first people to come out, so leader of Goon Swarm, that basically stated, we've got the showing you here that, you know, he said 11 days ago, effective tomorrow, the Imperium is withdrawing from the TTC treaty. So basically there's this treaty that everybody, you know, that Nightflyer was just talking about, and so the Imperium backed out, but they also bitched about things like how Test is still part of that treaty. And, you know, Test has like 20 members, but they wouldn't allow B2 into the treaty. So that's one of their reasons for kind of pulling out of this, is that they felt that, you know, the money was being disproportionately put out to different people that didn't deserve it, and people that did deserve it weren't being allowed to be brought into it. But he declared war for Goon Swarm, and then like a group, you know, a large group of people basically kind of fell behind this as well. And you know, end result is that the trade hub was going to be unanchored. They were going to try and just get rid, you know, just, you know, get it out of there before it gets blown up. But Vortex went through before they could get it unanchored. Goon Swarm was able to reinforce it. During this time, there was a bunch of bitching that was kind of going on about, you know, people not knowing HiSec mechanics and Vortex mechanics and stuff like that. It ended up with one of the large organizations, I believe Villy's group, was just sitting there waiting, watching the Keepstar get destroyed because none of their forces could be brought into the battle in the original first shield timer for it, or was that the armor timer? I think it was the armor timer. But in any case, it's getting blown up, and now I Choose You is also under assault. I don't know if you guys have any of your stuff in I Choose You.
I did. I just got an alert from stuff I got in StackMon.
Yep, me too.
My stuff,
because first trade hub I ever used when I was first starting the game. It was centered out of Slays, and so I would use that as my local trade hub. And I just got a thing saying, "Yeah, all your crap's gonna go in the next 2 days if you don't put an asset for or a asset safety." So, yeah, Berthurt, both Nightflyer and Mango had stuff over there. So,
yeah, I had a couple of my tunes too. I was like, "What the hell is this?"
Actually,
I know it's there.
Yeah, me too. I'm trying. Yeah, I was like, "What was there?" And they, well, the one thing
is that right now, like, what the fuck?
It was going abandoned for a while.
Yeah, right.
One of the things that really pissed me off.
That was interesting, though. I would say
it got unanchored like immediately after that.
What's interesting about that, though, is one of my tunes got the notifications that it was going abandoned, but the other one just got the asset safety notification. Like, I don't understand how that works. Like, why? Like, why did I only get one notification that my shit was gonna be floating in space? You know, like. I don't think I had anything important there, though.
I had five comets over there.
I don't remember what I had. So
a little snatch of my comets.
Yeah.
For me, it's probably like one Corvette and some modules.
Yeah, mine probably will end up being just a Voyager, and I'll be like, oh, that's great.
That would kind of suck. Thanks. That's a nice little ship.
Well, no, I mean like the newbie ship that.
The
Corvette.
The Corvette, yeah.
Viator would be kind of
blockade
nice,
runner.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that dropping.
Velator,
that's what I meant.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, but yeah. So yeah. So just kind of another warning to people, because people are bitching about their implants getting blown up, their shit getting put into asset safety. Ooh.
Lose their implants.
People were losing cry. Like, you know, 5 billion ISK implants that were, you know, like.
wish we could blow them up instead of them being lost.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Those were just missed opportunities.
For smart bombs.
But this is kind of a reminder to everybody that's listening: is get your shit. If you have, don't put important shit into player structures. Put beachheads, you know, like the stuff that you're gonna take out on
operating,
fleet.
Like,
right, you know, if you
have a few of your ships that you have multiples of,
or if you log in every day, it's usually not an issue, you know, because you can kind of see what, you know, is coming, and you can get your shit out before it gets to the point that you can't get it out any longer.
Reminds me, I need to move all that pirated loot out of that structure.
Right.
That I've been putting in there.
Right. But yeah, so this is just a reminder to, you know, use NPC stations if you can. But I wouldn't put your life savings inside of a player owned structure. Yeah. Especially if you're going, if you're going to be taking a break from the game. If you take a break from the game, like it's possible
you'll come back and our shit will be gone.
Yeah, it's possible that it will be gone completely, because it can go abandoned, and once it's abandoned and gets blown up, it just gets dropped into space. It doesn't matter at that point. And weird shit happens in Eve all the time. It's like, well, I'm part of Goon Swarm, that would never happen. I would say that very, very unlikely to happen to, like, 1DQ or something like that. But it could get taken down at some point in time. It just, you know, shifts happen pretty quickly in EVE sometimes. And it happens all at once, or spy-related weird shit that happens. So just be careful about... you know, keeping all of your stuff inside of a player-owned station, especially the high-sec ones, because who fuck knows, man? If you don't know the owner, like, if you're part of Goons, you can probably trust Goon structures for the most part. But, you know, I always say that the safest place is the NPC station. That's the reason why I live out of NPC stations. I do have a lot of assets spread throughout New Eden in player-owned structures, for sure.
Same.
But, you know, they're combat ships that I want to be able to reship into as quickly as possible, or change my, you know, what ship I'm flying when I'm in, you know, different situations in different parts of.
But our caps are in NPC stations.
But yeah, our caps are in NPC stations. Yep. And that's, I mean, we have the luxury of living out of low sec, so that kind of helps. We have structure, you know, player. There are player-owned structures, and there are NPC structures for us to have and use, so that's kind of nice. But in any case, I think we are a little bit over our time here, so let's go ahead and wrap this on up. Is there anything that you guys wanted to talk about before we head on out?
Just that apparently they're saying the Shadow War is coming to an end because everybody's done their ship casters now.
Oh, yeah.
Finally caught up. We have our ship caster. I don't know when we will ever use it, but
it's an Intaki. So
there's five stations to go. I got a frontline right here. I'm in a frontline system. I hope that ADLs is we're frontline and I'm gonna go.
It's also really Intaki is not close to Dodixie, so it's not really helping that trade hub. So that kind of sucks. It's gonna be weird to see if anybody uses ship casters at all, because so far it seems like a botched implementation. It doesn't. I don't see people giving anything but negative commentary on the ship casters. Not a single person has been like, "Yeah, this is useful. I would use this."
But I do thank all the guys that took time to make that stuff happen, because I did absolutely nothing for that war effort. So
yeah, me neither.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, thanks.
I tried. I really did. I actually took a day and like, all right, I'm gonna kind of figure this out, do some of the expo stuff, and.
I think I camped the Kaldari one in a legion for a little while. That was about it.
Yeah, and I probably should have looked for a fleet of guys that were involved in it and just learned more about it, but. I'm busy.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and wrap things on up here. Thank you all for watching. If you're interested in joining up with the war effort, go ahead and put an application into Golden Age Stories in-game. And that's GULDAN, Golden Age Stories. You can also watch us live on Twitch every Sunday at 2200 EVE time. That's 5 p.m. Central time. And if you missed the show live, you can always watch our recording of this on our podcast, The Federation Frontline Report. You can find that on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, pretty much any podcasting platform out there. There is a video version and an audio version for you on that podcast. Also, check out our website, federationfrontline.com, for more information on our alliance, our podcast, and friends of the show, and check out things about EVE Online. So thank you all for watching once again, and have a great night.
Good night, New Eden.
Good night, everybody.